And we're back. This is Healthy Choices, Healthy People. I'm Mark Henderson, your host. This is News Talk 1080 WTPS, the People's Station, where information is power. And I'd like to, May, before we go back into the doc, and he said he had a couple other interesting stories to tell, give your web address and your telephone number if people want to find out a little bit more about prostate cancer.
Yes, you can reach me directly at 305-779-2860. That's 305-779-2860 or mae.whitehead, just like it sounds, at cancer.org. That's mae.whitehead at cancer.org.
And think about it for a minute.
Think about that for a minute.
You can also go on the website and find out about more cancers at www.cancer.org. That's www.cancer.org. If you want to find out about 100 Black Men of South Florida and the programs that we do, including this, you can go to www.100blackmensf.org. That's all one word, 100blackmensf.org, or call 305-620-2260. That's 305-620-2260. Doc, you said you had another story. Tell us about it.
Oh, what do you have to hear? Because there's just so many.
Well, just give me another, give me one that you feel is kind of unique in terms of what you saw or what you dealt with in the years that you've been practicing.
In a sense, I suppose every man is unique. Every man is a little bit different. I've illustrated some of the extreme cases. For example, the guy who's really very young, to make the point that you're not necessarily off the hook just because you're younger than 50, for example. I've illustrated the case of the swimmer to illustrate that with contemporary techniques of surgery, we can get patients truly back on their feet very quickly. And I told you about a psychiatrist who very openly discusses the length of the functional recovery, specifically vis-a-vis urinary and erectile function. He is not unique. He, in fact, I think, embodies the general phenomenon, one that isn't very well recognized in the general public. I could tell you about friends who have died of prostate cancer, but I think we've already really made the point that we are losing a large number of our brothers and fathers and friends to this disease, a rate of 600 a week. And so I don't know that we need to talk about any one specific man who lost his battle with prostate cancer, other than to reassert the fundamental point that early detection is the key to effective management. It is important to have the tests. The tests are so easy to do. I mean, a prostate exam takes seconds to do. The blood test, the PSA, also takes seconds to do. If you're having your blood pressure checked, if you're having your cholesterol checked, you should be having your PSA checked.
It's interesting. We did one of the Black Men of South Florida in cooperation with Aventura Hospital about 2 months ago, did a prostate screening event. This must have taken place from like 9 o'clock until, I guess, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere in that category. And I was told by the hospital staff that traditionally when they do these, they may see 3 or 4 men, probably at most. That particular day, there was about 20 men that came in. So
we had even more. It was a great turnout.
Was he having more than that? Is that unusual?
It was unusual. I was surprised. I had done these before in cooperation with the hospitals, not here, and gotten very few men to turn out. And I don't know what explains the difference, because they didn't do a lot of advertising, and we still got 30 men in just a couple of hours. I think that's great.
Wow.
So maybe that has to do with communication. Maybe just the word got out properly. Maybe we've tapped into a real need, and people appreciate the information.
Or maybe we've scared them enough for them to come in.
Well, be it the carrot or the stick, you know, we'll take it. The reality is that a lot of men who are given this kind of information, for example, a PSA that's abnormal, will also drop out at the second step. You know, so some men never come in to get their health checked to begin with, be it cholesterol or PSA, in some men at a rate of approximately 45%, according to my own studies, drop out after you give them the bad information, i.e., you know, your PSA is abnormal, you need to move on to the next step. I would add that in that department, men and women are actually kind of similar. But the same kind of phenomenon, the diagnostic dropout phenomenon, occurs also with cervix cancer screening with pap smears, for example.
Why do they drop out?
I don't know. They're dropouts. They won't talk to you. So I don't know. They disappear. Right.
They never come back.
Well, I don't know about never, but in the follow-up periods, at least in my study, they disappeared. They didn't come. They didn't listen to the advice to go on to get a biopsy. And at a rate of 45%, they just took off, and I didn't see them again. I don't know. They could have gone somewhere else. I don't know.
Right. So I'm going to ask the next question. Out of that 45%, do you think a high percentage of that number later died?
Well, you know, we all eventually died, but I don't know how fast and of what causes in that group they dropped out. I don't have follow-up information about them.
Okay. Symptoms.
None.
No, I'm just saying in general, what are the symptoms of prostate
cancer?
Symptoms. Yeah, symptoms, yeah.
None. That's the problem. It's like hypertension in that sense. You don't feel it until it's done its damage. And that's why the early detection tests, the PSA and the physical, are so critical. By the time you feel prostate cancer, it is too late to do much about it.
That's interesting. And I asked that question because I'm looking at something here from the Prostate Cancer Foundation that says, and I'll read it for our listeners, if cancer is caught at its earliest stages, most men will not experience any symptoms. Some men, however, will experience symptoms that might indicate the presence of prostate cancer. And if this is correct, please back me on this. I need to urinate frequently, especially at night. Difficulty starting urination or holding back urine. Weak or interrupted flow of urine. Painful burning urination. Difficulty in having an erection. Painful ejaculation. Blood in the urine or semen. Or frequent pain and stiffness in the lower back, hips, or upper thighs.
Those are not symptoms of prostate cancer. Those might be symptoms of other prostate illnesses, such as benign enlargement and prostate infection. Cancer in its early stages does not cause those symptoms. Indeed, many of my patients, when they come in here with a new diagnosis of prostate cancer, will look at me kind of plaintively and say, but I feel so good, as if to make the point. So the fact that you feel great is nice, but doesn't get you off the hook. You still need to have the PSA and physical.
Maybe what about your side? I mean, again, we're talking about difficulties in getting men to make the acknowledgement. What do you think, and I'm going to ask the doctor's question as well, what do you think the future holds?
Again, it's education. Again, it takes a village to find a cure in our community, and we have to just keep becoming advocates. Women have to just keep talking and keep sharing with their family members, and that's what it's going to take.
But why is it women? I mean, I don't want to, you know, I hate to put the burden. Our women, as women in other cultures, have enough of a burden as it is in terms of dealing with daily life. Why do they have to have this additional burden of getting, you know, of getting the stick and getting the stick to their men to deal with a disease that, you know, is real prevalent?
Will have to do it until they can do it themselves.
Until you can modify the men's behavior?
Right.
Good luck. Look, Mark, I think that men to some extent have to also take responsibility for themselves. Wives are wonderful. Look, where would you and I be without women?
Right? Exactly.
Right. So I think everybody appreciates that women are critical to healthcare, but the fact is, as long as we stigmatize discussions about things like the prostate exam, erectile dysfunction, fear of death, fear in general, then we're going to hold ourselves back, our gender back. I have patients who I think are helping on a small scale to destigmatize the things that go with prostate cancer, and it's why I admire them so much, because in the current environment, namely where men are macho, I mean, this isn't anything new, this is how we are, it isn't necessarily easy, natural, or instinctive to open your mouth and say, my erections aren't working and I'm afraid I'm going to die. It isn't. Their selflessness is exemplary. I t- talk with them about how they can make a difference, in their worlds, how they can talk to other men about it. Women have a critical role, but so do the men. And I think men are not necessarily the best communicators on these issues. Women have shown themselves to be much better. But maybe with time we can also get the men organized just the way the women have done with the breast cancer and start to make an even more powerful difference. But the men are going to have to step up. If the men don't talk about it, there's only so much the women are going to do.
Doc, thank you so much. Dr. Aaron Congrad, who is a prostate cancer doctor out of Aventura, and Mae Whitehead, who is our frequent almost co-host now since you've been on the show so much, from the American Cancer Society, the Miami-Dade unit, and she is the community representative. For you men that are listening to this program, if you feel that you have anything wrong with you, please go get checked. Don't wait. It is not a stigma. Nobody's going to talk about you, and even if they do, it's your health, not anybody else's health. We will see you next week. This is Healthy Choices, Healthy People. I'm Mark Henderson. You have a real great Sunday. You're on News Talk 1080 WTPS, the People's Station, where information is power. Have a great Sunday.